Hope everyone had a good holiday. Except Jeff.
He already found out he didn't.
So. He would have liked to. He's been fighting with his sciences all week. I'm only fighting with him this morning as we got back from Texas, I noticed. Same thing my brother always told me when he came from Georgia. Something about this area. I didn't have the problem all week. Of course, he was 76 and 72. So that changed his face. All right. How many of you have a chance to read chapter 6 this week? As the beans that all went
through.
Once again, his title, I think, is an excellent indicator of what he's going to cover. Sunday morning costumes. Covering up the problem. How many of you were raised being told you have to wear your Sunday best? Don't even think about wearing something that's got a tatter, or it's dirty, or wrinkled, or...
T-shirt.
No. How many of you ever questioned it and got the same answer? That's the way it is. Just get used to it, right? Because we have to give God our best. Now, if you think logically, excellent idea. It is what God asks. But why is it we only say that and do that with the Sunday morning clothes we have? If we truly believe that we should give God our best, which we should, shouldn't it be more than the clothes we wear on Sunday morning?
Amen.
Right? So where did this all come from? What did the Jews wear to the synagogue? What they had on. What did Jesus wear when he went to the temple? Whatever he had. I mean, he didn't have a wardrobe full of clothes, did he? He traveled by foot. He and his disciples walked all around Judea. Did they have a whole luggage train of a new outfit for every day and the Sabbath day best? No. When he told his disciples to go out and teach, what did he tell them to take with them? Nothing but the clothes they had. And accept whatever God brings to them in whatever situation they are in. So how did we get to the concept that you have to get better clothes on Sunday morning than you wear any other day of the week? Well, if you look historically, it didn't happen in the first century. If you follow it, it didn't happen in the 15th century, because most of England, or that time, cloth was a premium. If you had clothes at all that you didn't spin yourself, you had a luxury. Most families growing up in the 15th, 16th, 1700s had two pairs of clothes. One you worked in every day, and the one that wasn't quite so worn out that you wore on Sundays. It wasn't until the Industrial Revolution that came around that cloth became a commodity that anybody could have in some color other than the sheep that you raised, that it became an issue. Before that, only the royalty could afford costumes, clothes, for various events. And they did dress up for big events, right? You see the 15th century court pictures, what do they have on? These big flowing robes for the king and these fancy dresses for the ladies. And you know, outside of that room, on that occasion, they didn't wear that. The normal people still only had a couple outfits because they couldn't afford anything else. So only when it became something that us common people could do did it become an issue. Because once it became affordable, the people that could wanted to be like ones that they thought were their betters. And so if I dress up to be like them, I will be one of them. How many of you have ever tried that in high school? If I dress like all of the cool people, I'll be cool. Did it work?
I don't see a single head going up in there.
Why do we continue to hold that same concept throughout our lives? Because we do. I mean, be honest, we do. We think if we can be like those other people, we look like them, we act like them, we'll be like them. That's why he used this particular title, Sunday Morning Costumes. Because we dress up to present an image to other people. I love one of his illustrations is, you probably just had a knockdown, drag-out fight with your wife. You screamed at the kids. You yelled at the people as you were driving to the church building. You get out of the car. You put on a smile. You straighten up your jacket. You walk in like everything is wonderful, right? No. Why do we do that? Why do we need to present an image to the people that we should know better than anybody else, that should know us better than anybody else, to think everything is wonderful? Because really, that's all we're doing, right? As Judy said when she was a little girl, it was unheard of. I mean, you had to dress up, because if you didn't, she was afraid her mama wouldn't let her get in the car. You can't go like that. Why? Because so-and-so will say something. Well, you know what? They're going to anyway. Doesn't matter how nice an outfit you get. If that person's inclined to say something, they're going to do it anyway. And if your whole purpose is to impress someone else, are we really dressing up on Sunday morning to please God? All through Scripture, what does he say he looks at? Right. Did you dress that up this morning? That's what he wants. The outside doesn't mean much. So after the Industrial Revolution came along and everybody could afford clothing, it got to be an issue to where the people started to dress up more. And then once that happened, it had to be done not to impress God, but to impress the other people. Is this a new issue? How long do you think that's been going on? Probably since the first fig leaf, right? Oh, my fig leaf's better than yours. Because that's just the way people are. Was this an issue in the first century church?
Yes.
How do we know that?
Well,
you are correct, by the way. Book, chapter, and verse. James chapter 2. Oh, pick up a book and take a look. And note who they're trying to impress. When we come together to worship, we should be trying to impress God. And yet, most of the problems that we have in any congregation are because we don't do that. We try to impress one another. When we try to put on a pretense of something we are not, that's when we get into trouble. Beginning in verse 1, my brother, show no partiality as you hold the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Already, we know that the issue is, they're starting to like one group of people more than another. Right? Show no partiality. Doesn't leave much room for latitude, does it? Didn't say a little? Try not to? For if a man wearing a gold ring and clothing comes to your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there,
or you sit down at my feet? Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs to the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing a sin and convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable to all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," has also said, "Do not commit murder." You do not commit adultery, but do murder, you become a transgressor of the law. So speak and act as those who are judged under the law of liberty. Key word there. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We see already the first century church was trying to say, "Oh, look at the one who's come in. They're dressed so finely, they look nice, come sit by me." And the one who came in off the street in their shabby, dirty clothes, just stand over there. First century church already had the problem. We like to be around people that we consider wealthy because then others consider us the same. It's a pretense, right? We probably are just like that poor person over there. We just cleaned up a little bit. I had a really good friend when Judy and I went to Goodlettsville when the boys were like 2 and 3. His job was to haul hay. Greg would work all day long hauling 600, 700, 800 bales of hay. And I noticed most Wednesdays, "Greg, I didn't see you. You know, I missed you. Where were you?" He said, "I was working all day. I didn't have time. And just couldn't get home and get cleaned up." I said, "It doesn't matter. There's a spot next to me. Anytime you want, you're always welcome. I don't care if you bring the hay in on you. There's a spot." And you know, it did make a difference to him because he would show up in his dirty boots. He would clean the ones off that happened to be in spots in the field that shouldn't be in the interior. He did have a spare set of boots because he said, "I couldn't clean them enough." But he would come in and you would see people look like, "Ooh." And why? On Sunday, they liked Greg wonderfully. On Wednesday, because he was dirty and didn't smell that good sometimes, they shied away from him. If you remember what the Lord's Prayer said in it, and I know he did this for a reason. Judge what? Actually, it said, "Forgive us as we forgive others." And we rarely want to pray that. I mean, because really, when you took a look at this whole topic of why we dress up on Sunday, if you ever break it down, why do we really, really, really do it? Historically, there's no basis for it. It's all about, I want to impress people. Right?
That's not necessarily true.
That's exactly the point I wanted somebody to say.
I was raised that way.
I was too.
And that's, you know, I don't think about what you're just saying as I get ready for church or get ready to come to assembly. I know what you're saying is right, and I agree with it, but and that's a danger that we have to look out for.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of this point in the book. Is it wrong or is it right? Now we know where it came from. Is it wrong? If I choose, and I have in my possession a nicer pair of clothing, and I choose to wear it on a Sunday morning, is it wrong? Because it's where. What matters? Who am I trying to impress? God. If this makes me in a more loving attitude, if it puts me in an attitude of worship, then I should do it. If I only do it because it's expected, that's a different thing, right? It's not wrong, but it's only wrong if. Why do we go out on Easter and buy all the little girls brand new dresses? Because they can't wear the one they've worn before? God wouldn't accept the fact that you've worn that dress before?
It's
tradition. Right. Guys don't have this big a problem because for us, we can wear the same clothes for 20 years. Nobody will say a word. As long as we still fit in.
Well, and I think, you know, as you've been taught, I think just from my personal experience that it's somewhat cultural as well. Because I know Sarah raised her hand when she said she was raised that you wear your best. But I remember going and visiting her the first few times. And I remember specifically a Wednesday night. And it was hot up there. It was like mid-80s, upper 80s, which is nice in the summer here, but there where air conditioning is not nearly as prevalent as here.
Almost unheard of.
It was hot. And so we were getting ready for church, and I came out and I had on a pair of khakis, and she's like, why are you wearing khakis? You know, I'm like,
exactly.
Because that's really what it was. Is I remember back to when I was in high school, Sean and I had shown up one Wednesday night in a pair of shorts, and we were made, I thought we were going to be, like,
ostracized from the church.
I thought we were going to be burned at the stake outside. It wasn't even ostracized. It was to the point where the next week they came in and had a full discussion with the entire team group on shorts and everything. So, that's what I'm thinking in the back of my mind, because, like, I don't know the people that your family has worshipped with. I don't want to offend it. And her response was, it's hot outside. You're going to be uncomfortable in pants in the building.
Yeah.
Why not wear shorts? And it's like, well, that makes sense, but, you know, sometimes we don't always do the things that make sense. And, you know, and that really was the point. And I heard Sean laughing even before, because that had stuck in my mind forever, because there I was, 14, 15 years old, and we weren't just, it wasn't that we were even rebuked, it was the way in which it was. We were left not wondering. It was a fairly intimidating experience.
We do not want to see this again. Right?
Yes. And so I saw the difference there. You know, and I remember sitting down with her brother when they had the when they were planning the church there in Syracuse, and he was talking about it, and he said, you know, if I go up and I'm speaking or I'm meeting people and I'm in a button-up shirt and a tie and everything, then I'm intimidating some of the people that I'm around, because that's not what they're used to. And he said, sometimes I have to put myself in their position when we go around and talk to people so that they're comfortable with me. And so I thought that was interesting as well, because his thought wasn't just how, you know, he was thinking about the others around them and what's going to be best. And I think that's one of the things that when we do dress up, and like when, you know, from that point on, when I did go into where we were going, I did respect those around, because obviously, if I showed up in something different, it really bothered a lot of the people that were around me. And so I don't want to, you know, I know there's that fine line that you walk, but I don't want to be the reason that someone is very upset.
And that is really the whole key that we should always keep everything in the focus of. Because what did Paul tell the Corinthians? Don't be a stumbling block to someone else. Even though it's fine for you. If your brother has a problem with it, it's better for you not to do it. In a lot of cases, as you guys figured out, it was better not to wear the shirt to get it. Although you had no trouble with it yourself, you knew that others would. And so therefore, it's better sometimes just to let that go. Yeah, this is not a topic that this congregation has trouble with. I would hope that you're comfortable where in whichever state you come in to worship. There are not places that you would say you could do that. Yeah, it's, you just know it's not. And it's not because their attitude of worship, it's what someone will say.
Yeah, my dad used to talk about that a lot. You know, he was one of the ones that said this up all the time, but he also would always say, it's, I want to give God my best. He would say that. But to me, that was just him saying that to make me dress up. But I was a stubborn little child, what can I say? Right. Anyway, but he got to the point to tell me, he's like, you know, Jerry, what happens if, you know, the church bus is going by one day, and, you know, you happen to be on the road, and you pass by this bar, and you see me coming out. He goes, what is your first thought? I go, I'll be like, well, Dad, what the heck are you doing in there? You know, why don't you call me? I'm going to help you out or whatever. He goes, yeah, but what is everybody else going to think? I said, well, probably that you were in there drinking. He goes, okay, well, what happens if, you know, my car broke down 2 miles and the closest thing was the bar and I had to go in there and use the payphone? He's like, you know, that was it. There was nothing to do with drinking or wanting to go in the bar place at all, but cell phone service wasn't available in the middle of nowhere.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, but think about it. All the people would already pass judgment on you before they even asked.
The one and only time I set foot in the Starlight Club. Boy, car broke down right where Hunter's Lane High School is now. It wasn't there then. Back then, there was nothing along that stretch of road except the Starlight Club. I walked, went in, used the phone, and came out as fast as I could. But that went through my mind, you know. But mainly, it's what a dad sees me coming, you know. But who else would see? And we worry an awful lot about what other people think. But part of what we have to worry about, too, is what impact do we have on that person if what we do makes them not come to God? We're accountable for it. We like to focus on we can do something to bring them to God, but we can do many things that keep them away as well. If we make it such an environment that they're not comfortable to come be with us, we're just as harmful, as it said, on every point of the law, is what James was saying. If we start to show partiality or exclusion of someone because they don't have nice clothing, because they don't have the fancy jewelry, they don't drive a nice car, they don't live in the right neighborhood, then we're as guilty as anybody who included murder. And we don't like to think that. But in God's eyes, the exclusion of someone based on those principles is just as bad. Because what you've done is put a wedge between them and the fellowship of God.
And something else for them to say after that is just like, you know, the people that are judging me, how many people would actually come up to me and say, hey, brother, you know, I just wanted to say you have a problem, you know, can we talk about it? He said, you know, it's one thing to pass judgment, but then it's a whole other thing when you don't do nothing about it after that.
Yeah.
And you go help the brothers, you know.
Oh, we do, but we do stuff about it.
Well,
did you know where I saw Jared tomorrow?
Exactly, yeah. You got some brother.
Instead of going to Jared to say, brother, you got a problem, and you could have said, yes, I did, my car broke down. Yeah, I had a problem.
The way I was raised, it wasn't to impress the other brothers and sisters. It was to show respect to God. Mm-hmm. And so, and everybody dressed. That's tradition. That's religion. But I was not raised to this because I wanted to impress my brothers and sisters. I like I said, it was disrespectful to God.
Yeah.
And I'm still at it.
And that's good. I mean, that's the right attitude. I mean, as most topics in this book, he's not saying this is a wrong thing to do. He's saying, analyze why you do it. And if you're going to do it, make sure you do it for the right reasons. I have no problem whatsoever with the fact that Papa wears a suit every week. Because that's Papa. If he didn't, we would all start to wonder, what's wrong with Papa? Your clothes dirty, you couldn't find them this week, you know, whatever. Because we get to know a person as they are. And when something changes in that person, we should know what it is. We don't know him well enough, and suddenly he's no longer dressed the same. And we don't want to know why. But if that is what he is, we need to accept him as he is. Which is a good thing, because in one phase of my life, the things I wore weren't... I don't know why Judy ever hung around with me.
Sometimes that judgment goes both ways.
It does.
And that's a fear I have sometimes when I traumatize from the church. I don't want anybody to think I'm trying to act like I don't know. None of y'all think that, I don't believe, but I don't want to put off anybody else who might not be dressed in our visitors or whatever it is. I wouldn't want them to think I thought I was better than anybody else. But the judgment part can go both ways. Somebody can think, you know, you're a hypocrite or you're the kind of person you were talking about, trying to show off or whatever. So, you know, it is something they need to think about.
And it does go both ways, because the second half of this chapter is not just the commoner, right? He talks about the clergy. And we all say the Church of Christ does not have a clergy. I beg to differ, but we do. How many of you have been in more than one or two congregations in your entire life, and Sunday morning preacher didn't get up in a suit and tie? And if he didn't get up in a suit and tie, there would be outrage.
Some congregations, you don't get up anymore,
except for the Actually, I know the congregation that keeps ties.
Yeah, that's true.
In a cabinet in the Lord's Supper room for those men who forgot one.
Yeah.
Because you can't serve unless you have a tie. That's in Ephesians 14:3. But, I mean, literally, my sister was tore up one day when she read that Greg was supposed to serve and he didn't have a son. Because everybody, no. They gave him one that didn't match anything he wanted. So he stayed out, you know, but he didn't bring one to this. Now, if it was Jim, you all would think that was normal. Because when he wears one, he purposely chooses to pick a tie that fits nothing.
Protested. Hey, so when do you know when it is a natural stumbling block and when it's just somebody that just traditionally doesn't like it? Because I have a problem sometimes trying to see that line. And because I feel like, you know, some people, like, they just want to say that because they're like, oh, well, that'll make me stumble if I, you know, see that going on. But when in reality, they can handle it and know that that's, you know, it just makes me frustrated because I feel like that it has nothing to do with me. It's just them not wanting to understand what the Bible's really saying. See what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to see it. I'm just trying to figure it out. I know an answer.
Well, I don't think you could ever know.
That's what I said. I struggle with it as well.
Just,
yeah. Yes, they should.
Your argument,
it's the same argument Paul has that said you should be eating meat, and yet you still need milk. You know, you're still little children. You haven't progressed at all. And he chastised them, but then he goes on to try and teach. You know, this is where you are. This is where you should be, but you're not, so let's start here. And unless they come to you and say something, and then you have a
legitimate discussion, not one you look down on them. And some people can't be taught. They don't want to. They are happy where they are, and that's the way they're going to be. And you learn to deal with it. It's okay. You know, I'm sorry, but we... You know, Ira used to say, we may choose to agree to disagree. We're never all going to agree on anything.
And I think the stumbling block passage is probably one of the most misapplied passages in Scripture, because people use that to change the way someone does something, and that's not the way the passage was written. The passage was written so that if I understand what I'm doing is causing you problems, then I need to change what I'm doing. And that's what, you know, I remember when it, Brandon and Stephen and I were teaching the singles class at Rivergate, and we were having a discussion on this passage. And, you know, the whole idea of the fact of someone coming up and saying, you're doing this and it's causing me to stumble, well, if you take it from that passage of Scripture, that person's admitting that what you're doing is right. You know, you're perfectly okay with doing it, but it causes me to stumble, so you should stop. And that's not the way it was intended. And so I guess it's kind of how Matt said, you can't know what to do in that situation. You can have a discussion. But I think for the most part, what we have to try our best to do, and it doesn't mean that that conversation can't keep going with that person, is we have to remember that we're all in this together. You know, and if I can help somebody in their walk, it may be frustrating at times, but if it's not something that's going to put me out any or cause me to sin, then I guess I need to think about, is it really worth the battle if it's going to turn me away?
What's that verse about, like, if you drink wine or whatever and someone is offended by it, then don't drink it or something? Or am I just thinking of something?
Actually, it says if they eat meat, sacrifice the idols in their finger.
Right, but you don't ask where the meat came from.
It just says don't do it when they're around. Don't flaunt it in front of them if they have trouble with it.
Right, but then one verse says, like, don't ask, if you are invited to someone's house, don't ask where the meat, or what they do with the meat.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
and you just eat it without knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it says for your own conscience, don't ask.
Don't ask.
Yeah. But is there a verse about, like, or I guess this is it, and it must have been a discussion or something that we got in class.
No, it is, this topic and that one are in line with one of the things I was thinking of while I was putting all this together in my head. It's one of these, this is one of those topics that the church as a whole has taken a good idea and taken it to an extreme. How many of you were told when you were growing up, it's a sin to dance? It's a sin to drink. You cannot go to church Sunday morning unless you put on your best outfit, the best one you own. They put it all in the same category, didn't they? Is it a sin to dance?
No.
Good thing, because you read all through the Bible. Somebody danced for the Lord and he was happy. Now, there are aspects, especially of the dances since the time I was a teenager up, that are sinful, no doubt about it. But put a label on it. Lasciviousness is listed as a sin. Lewdness is a sin. I don't think a waltz is in that category. You can't say you can't drink because Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for your stomach's sake. But he said, don't be drunk. Right? And the problem where we lose most kids is when we try and do absolutes instead of teach them the facts. We do an absolute. You wear your Sunday best no matter what. And when we don't teach them why, it's not about what other people think. It's what my attitude toward God. As Papa said, this is who I am. I was raised this way. I would not be comfortable any other way. And in that case, it also says, don't do that. Right? If it makes you uncomfortable, don't do that. But the other side of the coin is, if it's okay, don't look down on. If someone comes in their blue jeans with holes in them, and you're looking down on it, that may be their best. They may be doing the exact same thing you are, but you've already judged them based on the appearance. I've had days that I walked in with a hole in my pants. It happened on the way out the car in the parking lot. I tripped. This big, ripped. Couldn't go home. So, yep, in spite of the fact that Judy was horrified, I walked right in the building. They were the best pair I owned to that point. But what do people think? Oh, my.
Yeah, Rich, something my mom, and I'm going to butcher it because I was a little girl.
That's okay.
But she was, there's a family friend that grew up with us, and his family didn't really go to church, so she kind of took him in and stuff like that. But he would always wear the blue jeans and stuff like that, and she'd just say, you know, don't you have anything nicer to wear? Well, he was a really big athlete. In fact, he got honored for his football playing at state. And he went out, and at the banquet, he bought all these khakis and stuff. And she said, well, why are you dressing up? He says, well, I'm being honored. And she kind of said, be careful that you don't put yourself on a higher pedestal than God. If you feel the need to dress up when you're being honored, when do you dress up to honor God? And I just thought that was a really good wake-up call. Mm-hmm. If it's something you do for yourself, you know, when you're feeling the need,
mm-hmm.
it's a good check to see where your humility is.
It is. That's a wonderful aspect of it is, do we do things for ourselves that we're not willing to do for God?
And it's not, and nothing was about what other people think. It's just what was your, again, goes back to your intention. But it just mm-hmm. always stuck with me.
It does. Yeah. And the other half of his chapter is about the clergy. Why do all of the ministers in various denominations wear something different than all of the congregation? To set them apart.
Right.
As Dave talked about the pastor last week, the position brings with it an aura of you're above everybody else spiritually. And so they started wearing clothing. And again, we can go back to that one event in time when everything started, right? We had buildings, we had acceptability, we have Constantine. You know, when the Roman emperor started making Christianity acceptable, to make it a state religion, he changed, he said, well, you know, the priest or the clergy needs to wear a different outfit. And look, for the beginning, they only wore it during service. Then they started wearing it as they walked around town. Okay? Is it bad for them to be noticed differently in service? But when you start to wear it, so when you walk around town, so you get preferential treatment, where does it break the line, right? Because if you're wearing it just so you are noticed, you became just like the Pharisees that Jesus said, you're nothing but, you know, sepulchers full of dead men's bones. Whitewashed on the outside, but full of deadness on the inside. Looks beautiful from the outside. But it's just rotten decay inside. That's where we have to be careful. And I think that's what he's trying to get at here is don't put the emphasis on the outward appearance. Put the emphasis where God wants to look at. God's going to look at your heart. God knows if you treat him the way he should be treated, if you put him in a position in your life the way he should be placed, and if your emphasis is on impressing other people, and Jesus already said, if you do something so that you get noticed, that's the only reward you're ever going to get. That's why he said, when you do this, do it in secret. So he had a lot of teaching that said, it's not about the outward appearance, right? It's all about the attitude and the way that you interact with God. And I use that word specifically. Because too many of us want God to give us blessings, and we think that's it. God wants an interaction. He works with us. We have to work with him. There has to be some discussion, some dialogue. You have to know him to be a part of it. is not going to be a two-week discussion because I've covered everything I want to cover in 1 week and we're done. I appreciate everybody's comments. Anybody else want to add to the discussion? We all need to go out and get tuxedos, guys. No, your head, Ken. Yes, he does. I happen to believe like Willie Wright. Those of you who came from Grimgate knew Willie. Willie was one of those guys. He's one of my favorite individuals. He was laughing the minute he woke up until he fell asleep. He used to joke that said he had a pair of his formal Crocs, and he literally did. He had a tuxedo every year. Rosie and he would go on a cruise, and he had a tuxedo and a pair of formal Crocs to go with them. And they were black Crocs. And he said, occasionally when it's cold enough, I'll put on a pair of socks with my Crocs. So, you know, it's all about the attitude, right? Okay, I could dress up, but I'm still going to not really dress up. The one concession I had to make in my wedding, I couldn't wear my cowboy boots. I wanted to, but she said no. Which, looking back, is probably a good thing. All right, we're done. Dave, you should talk about the music maker.